Hello, and welcome again to the Vampire Diaries Radio Podcast. We are your hosts, Ashley
and Natalie.
Within this podcast, we are going to be doing an overview of the second episode of the first season, The Night of the Comet.
Today will be different. I will no longer be the girl who lost her parents. I will be someone new. It's the only way I'll make it through.
I predict this year is going to be kick-ass, and I predict all the sad and dark times are over, and you are going to be beyond happy.
I can sense
everything I've kept buried inside came rushing to the surface. I'm simply not able to resist her.
Got a secret, can you keep it? Swear this one you'll save. Better lock it in your pocket.
Sist.
Okay, so within this episode, it's been 145 years since the comet has passed over Mystic Falls. The truth about Vicky's attack is about to be revealed, and Elena is wondering what secrets Stefan has.
Hi, guys! All right, so Natalie and I were laughing about the fact that through this whole episode, they don't actually name the comet, which, okay, is hilarious, but here we go. Before we really get started in the episode, we wanted to talk about Elena, how we think she's actually a role model, and kind of a role model, I guess, is what the proper term is. And we were trying to figure out how she ranks within the heroines of what we have, because, you know, we have Buffy, and then we have Sookie, and then we have...
At least as a heroine within these vampire...
Right, novels. This whole Vampire Diaries arc, and as we were going through our notes together, we were laughing because we found so many different Buffy and True Blood and Twilight references. We just thought that was hilarious. So, Elena is an okay character. I mean, sometimes she has goals. She's very protective of her brother, which is very sweet.
Yeah, she's spunky.
She's spunky, according to Damon. But, I don't know... As the season progresses, and like as the second and third season, it definitely happened, she evolves. I don't think she evolves as much as Caroline, but...
I think that for so many people, if a female protagonist isn't, you know, kicking butt all the time, that she's not a very strong character. But I think with the Vampire Diaries, though Elena, she's not very strong physically... Like, as a person, she's very strong.
Well, right, and this show, like Kevin Williamson and Julie Plec, they kind of take a different take. Yes, they acknowledge that, yes, vampire lore has been done, but with Elena, they keep her human for so long, and they definitely take away from the original source novel. They make the books better because, as I've told you before, L.J. Smith is an awful writer. And they make Elena really likable because in the book, she's blonde and the atypical, like, pre-Buffy kind of thing.
Yeah, I think that in the movies, people like a brunette more than they like a blonde.
Which is hilarious, but, you know. But
we're both blonde.
We're both blonde, so, you know. But, yeah, we just thought that we should talk about how we think Elena is. And Elena definitely does change, and she begins to realize what her true, you know, destiny is, which is actually really good. But that's in three seasons, and it'll probably take us forever to get there. So, let's get started.
Yeah.
All right. So, we open with Natalie's favorite song of the episode, which is...
Hell Will Come Alive by Metric. I thought it's very funny because basically the lyrics go something like, eat me alive, and in a couple minutes these characters are about to be eaten alive.
I've never heard this song. Natalie's our music expert. So
never heard this song. I really need to
I've heard this episode because I watched this... I've heard
Listen
this
the
music
song,
because I've... watched this episode about four times last week, but besides that, it is. I really like this song, except I totally thought it was called I Tremble, but now they could be wrong.
No.
Okay, so then we open with our body count evolving from 2 to 4 rapidly. Then we're in a camping arena with two random characters. We'll call them Jane and John. Because, you know.
Or John and Jane.
And they're, you know, making out in their little tent, which is kind of
star.
Which is creepy because, okay, who in Rustic Falls decides, let's go camping. People are dying, but no problem. I'm going to go camping, but, you know.
I know, after they've just heard in the news about this attack in the woods.
But,
just like, yeah, I'll just go,
you know, Mystic Falls is Mystic Falls.
That's so typical of horror films.
Of course.
Like the woman goes and takes a shower when there's no light.
Very psycho.
Yeah.
But, okay, fine. So, you know, they're laying and he goes and tries to get something from the car, which we think is a ring. I think is a ring. I'm not sure. And, you know, they're talking and she's like, it's going to rain and we're not going to be able to see the comet, blah, blah, blah. And, you know. And then she walks out because she hears drops on it. She goes, I know it. Which is, this part's really gross.
I know.
Very Jurassic Park-esque. And you find...
So she looks up to look for the source of the dripping, which is actually blood. And she finds her boyfriend's body hanging from the trees.
And, yeah, so John is upside down. And she begins to run because she's freaking out. And... We're not sure who the attacker is, but they don't actually reveal it, but we think it's Damon. So, spoiler alert, sorry.
It has to be Damon.
Right, so. And then she runs to the car, and she realizes she doesn't have the keys, and now Damon's just screwing with them because he unclicks the car, which is hilarious.
Yeah, and that's the beeping sound that's to lock the door, isn't it?
No, I thought it was to unlock it.
No, because when... What?
I thought it was to unlock it.
Well, my car, when it only beeps when you lock it.
Oh, my car does both?
Oh.
Whoa, okay.
So he's either locking it or unlocking the door. But basically
he's just screwing with them, which is hilarious. So yeah, we think it's Damon. Yeah. And then she has no keys and then she snatched up and voila. Ooh. And then goes to the title. So I was laughing. Natalie didn't notice this, but the Vampire Diaries like titles, like, you know, everyone this The Vampire Diaries doesn't actually have a theme song, which I think is really interesting. It just has a little melodic 3-second music note.
Yeah, it is at the beginning of our theme song.
Mm-hmm, which is, yeah, you can hear like little snips of it. And it's just really interesting. And then throughout the season, the script changes a bunch of times, which is funny. But the Buffy one does too, so the Gilmore Girls one does. But anyway.
Maybe it's supposed to be
significant. And I just haven't realized it yet.
Or another reference to Buffy. Because there's a lot of things that are quite a lot like Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
And yeah. And then now we go to our cheesy little I'm in love with each other, Stefan and Elena.
Yeah, I call this the shared monologue between Stefan and Elena.
Thank God they dropped this because they drop it in a couple episodes and it gets much more rapid.
Yeah,
but
when there's more of a plot, things are happening, so... Not so much all about Elena.
Right. But the show is, the tagline is, all about Elena, as you guys know now. And so they're talking, and she's writing in her diary, and she gets up, and Jenna and Elena have the cute little scene where they're talking about what Jenna should have her hair for the
parent-teacher
conference that Jeremy's supposed to have. On the third day of school, they're already having a parent-teacher conference?
That's so silly.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Sure. So then Jenna's, you know, doing different hairstyles and they're being sassy and then they're wondering where Jeremy is because he told Jenna that he had to finish up a bird house for wood shop and then she realizes, oh, I just forgot Mystic Falls doesn't have a wood shop apparently. So, okay. And then Jeremy appears at Vicky's room and so apparently Mystic Falls General doesn't have any doctor-patient confidentiality rules because...
Yeah, the nurse goes out and says what's wrong with Vicky. She's lost a lot of blood and...
Yeah, she goes into this whole spiel, but you should get out of here. Oh, thanks for telling me my information.
Even though he's never established, like, how he knows Vicky. Like, he could just be some random
stranger. What if he was, like, actually a stalker and... Yeah. So, anyways, it's television, so, you know, let's just go with it. And, you know, then Jeremy's being all emo and looking at Vicky like he's so sad, like a little lost puppy. Poor Jeremy. And then we cut to my least favorite character of Vampire Diaries, Mr. Tanner, unfortunately. And, you know, we're going to get the brothers confused a lot, so I apologize in advance. Sorry. So Stefan and Elena are doing their lovey-dovey looks to each other. Elena's hair is not as shiny as this episode. I wonder if somebody complained. Or the fan board.
Yeah. So, Ashley's thinking about the important things.
Of course, can't you tell? The shiny, Elena's hair is not that shiny this episode. And then they're having burning looks, and Mr. Tanner gets mad at them, and blah, blah, blah.
Like, are we bothering you?
Which, yes, you are. For me, I don't know about that.
They're having a moment. Leave them alone.
Exactly. And then they're walking in the hall, and Stefan gives her a book, and apparently it's Wuthering Heights by Alex Bell, who
Alex Bell.
Or, oh, is it? Okay, maybe.
B-L-L-I-S.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't actually know Charlotte Bronte had. Emily Bronte, because Charlotte Bronte did.
Yeah, Emily Bronte.
Sorry.
Bronte.
I didn't realize they used aliases, so yeah. Pseudonyms. So, yeah. Wow, learn something new every day. So, she asks him where he got the original copies. Like, it's been passed down. Apparently, he bought it from the 19th century Barnes & Noble. Which, okay, yeah, funny. And then we go, and Bonnie and Caroline are talking, and Caroline is asking Bonnie what the difference between psychic and clairvoyant is, which actually is kind of important for future episodes. So, yeah. But Bonnie doesn't really answer it, so apparently she doesn't know either.
I have no idea either.
And then she's talking about how her grams is boozy, which we thought was hilarious because we really liked the actress they cast as.
And she didn't seem to be
Bonnie's grandmother,
an alcoholic.
No, Bonnie's grandmother is great. We meet her a few episodes down, but I really like Bonnie's grandmother. So, yeah.
So stick around to find out more about her.
About apparently Bonnie's apparent boozy grandmother. And then we go to Jeremy and. Apparently, Jeremy tries to pick a fight with Tyler, and this is, again, the first couple episodes, they're still trying to establish where they should go and what characters to keep and stuff, so okay, I'll grant them this, but this is, like, one of my least favorite episodes. I do not like Jeremy versus Tyler.
I think Tyler is sort of a stereotype of a jock.
Right, and then
seem, like, very three-dimensional at this point.
Again, they must have been paying attention to the fan boards, because I think, like, okay, they give so much screen time to Vicky, and, like, in the later, anyways, you'll find out what happens to Vicky, thank God. But, yeah, so, they're still trying to establish their way, so I'll forgive them this. So, and then they have their little fight, and then Matt and Elena are talking. They have a lot of scenes, like, little intermittent scenes within scenes, which is really funny. But it's interesting for us, so we can talk more.
Yeah. And now we have the return of Stalker Stefan.
Oh, yes, definitely Stalker Stefan.
So Stefan is listening in on Stefan and Elena, or sorry, Matt and Elena's conversation.
About Vicky and how Vicky woke up and said vampire, but he thinks she was drunk, so it's okay. Mm-hmm. Again, why did we give Matt, what impressions did Stefan give Matt that he's a vampire? But, all right.
I know, just because Vicky, when she was in this drug haze, said, oh, I was attacked by a vampire.
And then he looks up, but she doesn't even say it. Never mind. Okay, anyways, so Matt apparently is really cued into the paranormal, I guess. Maybe it's the comet. Maybe he's linked to the comet.
Which is so funny, because he's like the least magical or least supernatural person in this whole series.
Right, he has absolutely no powers whatsoever. But, you know, it's good.
Very attuned to them.
Apparently. It balances out a... Elena, though, quite nicely. So, you know, fun for us. Fun to make fun of, you know. Keep going. And then Matt's asking Elena what's up with that guy and then how.
Oh, yeah. And she's evasive. She says, I don't want to hurt you.
Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And, you know, okay. And then Matt storms off because he's all pissed at her. And then Elena turns.
To the hospital.
Right, to go back. And then Matt. And then Elena wants to talk to Stefan and Stefan's gone. Dun, dun, dun. Where did Stefan go? And then, okay, and then now cut to, I think, my least favorite scene in this episode, and it's Mr. Tanner and Jenna during the third day of school's parent-teacher conference. Apparently, we're very attentive. And
Mr. Tanner seems to be the only teacher at this school.
Apparently, and he's all mad at Jenna because he's, you know, he's all moody and he's on drugs and how isn't there anyone else that can take him, which is completely inappropriate. Who?
Yeah, to say
for a history
she's
teacher?
An unfit guardian.
Oh my God. Okay.
And she's met her for like 2 seconds.
I know. And then Buffy reference. Jenna's middle name and Elena's mother's middle
her maiden name. Elena's mother's maiden name is actually Summers.
Summers, which Buffy Summers. Yeah. Shout out to all the vampires.
Yeah, Buffy
and
reference.
Yay lore. Yay Buffy. And basically, oh, and Jenna is wearing this completely inappropriate dress that has this like V-neck down.
She wants to impress Mr. Tanner.
Or she wants to go to
which
a club.
Would be very inappropriate.
I can't believe they whoever did the wardrobe for this episode was obviously fired because the clothes get much better. But I don't know. It's just, it bothered me. I don't know why. But that, who wears that to a parent-teacher conference? Maybe she had a dinner and she was late for the date and Jeremy was keeping her up. So,
yeah.
All right. So, and then he goes on to his rant about how it's impossible to raise two teens, which, okay, Jenna's fate, which apparently it is. But, you know, not.
He's just antagonistic to everyone.
He's terrible. Anyways, I hate this actor. Anyways. Keep going. And then we go to the No Lights Hospital.
Yeah. Matt is at the hospital again.
Mystic Falls is trying to save on electricity, and they keep all their halls dark.
If it doesn't need to be lit, it won't be.
Yeah, so Stefan's going to see Vicky to make sure, you know, she doesn't let anything slip and lose his cover, which, you know, it already has, but okay.
Yeah, so and then he compels her to think that she was attacked by an animal.
Right, but we haven't gotten there yet. Vicky's being creepy. Matt walks into her hospital and is looking for her, and Vicky's in her little trance and all terrified. And
yeah.
And then she starts screaming for no apparent reason, and Matt runs to go to the To get the nurse. And then Stefan compels her. And we learn something really interesting here, that Stefan's ability to compel isn't as strong as Dean's, but we're not there yet.
Yeah.
But we find out why in a little bit. And then, you know, he convinces her that, you know, she was attacked by an animal and not a vampire and blah, blah, blah. Okay, but how do the nurses not hear her screaming? Okay, Vicky's scream is very, very loud. It's not like, and it's not like the walls are soundproof. Okay, she's not in the she's not in the psychotic ward or anything. So, anyways, then Matt goes and looks around to see if anything's disturbing, but apparently Matt
sees Stefan out of the corner of the
yep, and he
going down the hallway,
follows him.
Follows him, which is kind of weird.
Well, yeah, so Stefan begins to. Or, I'm sorry, Matt follows Stefan down, and they go into this blood bank, which is hilarious, you know.
That's... I know. So, for a second there, Stefan sort of vamps out.
And he's looking at all the blood and going, ah, crap. Yeah. And then he jumps out the window.
Jumps out the window.
And then Matt looks in and says, oh, the window's open, it must be Stefan, which, okay. All right.
Very attuned to the supernatural, like we said.
And then we go to the happy, slightly funny scene where, oh, and our major foreshadowing scene of this episode where Bonnie, Caroline, and Elena are all talking about the significance of the comet. So if you haven't mentioned before, the comet is apparently impending doom and the significance of the bed of paranormal activity, which, okay, I think is relevant to the when they locked all the with Catherine in the church and burnt it down. I think that's what they're trying to allude to, I think.
Spoiler alert.
Sorry. Yeah. So, again, if you haven't watched it, watch it. And so I think that's what they're referencing to. But I don't know about the years. I haven't calculated those yet. So I could be wrong. So, and then Carolyn.
Well, they returned. Stefan and Damon, they returned sometime around 145
years ago. So, yeah, so it has to be that age. So I think that's what they're referencing, you know, to bring it in full circle, which is, they actually do a great job full circling, which is awesome. And then,
very consistent,
which is really nice. And then, Carolyn and Bonnie and Elena are talking about how Elena feels about Stefan, and Caroline wants Elena to share the smut, which is funny. Romance novels, you know, they call it smut. And then, Carolyn's talking about how her and Stefan should get together very quickly and consummate. And, okay, now you realize that the CW is not going for my typical Dawson's Creek, the WB, where
very
you don't talk.
Vanilla.
Where you don't, yeah, exactly. You don't talk about the S word or anything, but oh my. So, yeah.
And at the end of the episode, you actually see a bit of SEX.
Yeah, and they were quite fast in the series.
It's just like,
in the books, Stefan and Elena get together in like the first like 100 pages. I'm like, oh my god, it was terrible. This is part of the reason why I didn't like the books. But anyways, and then so, you know, Elena decides that she has to do something and walks away from Bonnie and Elena.
Or Bonnie and that she Caroline. Needs to go have sex with Stefan, although no, she doesn't.
No, she doesn't. Not yet. And then we cut to Jenna and Jeremy, and they have their awkward parental attempt, or Jenna's attempt at being parental.
Yeah, she's trying to do an intervention, a drug intervention.
Now, okay, I thought she just made up the fact that she got stoned. That's
the impression. I would believe that of her.
I don't know. I think...
You know, she seems to be pretty casual about things. She's not very strict.
Maybe. I don't know. I wasn't convinced.
Well, why would you lie about that? I mean, that's hardly going to make a kid stop doing drugs if you just go out and say, like, oh, well, I did it. I got stoned all the time.
I think she was trying to relate to him, which, you know, a lot of people say that how you relate to teenagers is through. I don't know. I couldn't tell. And then she delivers the kind of amusing line with a thesis looming and a wasteland expanding, you know, you had to stop doing drugs, which was, she doesn't actually finish the sentence, but it's really funny, so.
Yeah, like, because that's really going to relate to a 15-year-old boy.
Right. Oh, and then, we haven't gotten to the apple yet. So anyways, and then, then we go to the hospital with Vicky, unfortunately. And Vicky is, you know, happy bipolar girl.
Yeah.
And all happy and laughing and throws an apple at Matt, which, okay, if for all you Twilight fans out there, an apple is the cover on Twilight. So that's their little...
Yeah, a little Twilight reference.
The writers are trying to be funny, we think. But, yeah. Or, you know, they just thought it would be funny for Vicky to throw an apple.
They could have chosen any
sort of fruit. Why pick an apple?
Yeah, a pear or an orange. But no, it's an apple.
Or it's foreshadowing, but, you know, Adam and Eve. But, you know, okay. And then,
I don't think it's that serious.
Maybe.
Okay, so they're at the hospital, and Vicky and is Matt saying that she does not feels. Recall screaming earlier, so...
And then Matt asks her what attacked her, and she, thinks for a minute, or pretends to think, that Kayla Ewell is terrible. Anyways, I do not like Vicky. Anyways, yeah. And then she's like, an animal. And then, okay, Matt's apparently...
So now Matt is really on alert. He's worried about her.
Now he's, freaked out. And then Jeremy shows up, and, the little lost puppy he is. Poor Jeremy. And then,
Vicky treats him horribly.
Oh, yeah. Vicky's awful.
Because at the end, you know what happens with her and Tyler.
Right. So Jeremy...
She's just leading Jeremy on the whole time.
And then she's mad because he came to the hospital and, you're causing suspicion.
At the end, what he did was pretty bad, feeling that he had sex with herself or something.
Well, yeah.
Because that was the one thing she didn't want him to tell
anyone. But you know what? She's the one who's... And Vicky's terrible. You know what? It was going to come out eventually, you know. Anyways, so then Jeremy tells her basically to get over Tyler in this really funny scene, and then he, pretends to check for Tyler, which is cute, okay? Stephen R. McQueen, who is the actor who plays Jeremy, is actually Stephen McQueen's great-grandson, which, you know, little commentary fact for you. Yeah, a little interesting tidbit, which he's really cute, but Natalie pointed out that he looks really, really old.
Well, not really, really old. He just doesn't look 15 because, right now, he's around the same age as Nina Dobrev.
He is really cute, actually. Yeah, I think he's cute.
You know, because he's got muscles on him.
He has a lot of muscles.
And 15-year-old boys that I've seen, none of them have muscles. Mm-hmm.
He's a good-looking really kid. They're only 23, so they're young. But anyways, so then she, you know, and then we go to our favorite scene of the episode, Elena visiting the Salvatore mansion, which it's huge. They originally filmed in Canada, but then they moved to Georgia because, you know, the Civil War stuff later. But the Salvatore house is beautiful. I wish I could live there.
I thought it had too many lamps, way, way too many lamps.
I didn't notice the lamps. Sorry.
There were a lot.
And then, go ahead, Natalie. Elena.
What was I going to say?
Elena knocks on the door and tries the doorknob and...
Oh, and the door is open.
Okay, apparently.
So she just walks in, which is hilarious.
Apparently Damon and Stefan don't believe in locks. Or Zach, at that matter. Yeah, Zach's human. Hello, why aren't you locking doors? But, okay.
Okay.
And then, there's no mist, thank God. They got rid of the mist.
So there's no one in the house that she can see.
And she's looking around.
Looking around, and then suddenly from behind her...
A crow appears.
And a door comes... A crow comes through the door, and she's shocked by this. She turns around, and then
Damon. Happy, happy, happy. And then the door closed magically. And yeah, she's like, oh, the door was open, and then it was closed. And then so, and Damon's very sweet to her and doesn't react to her image of who we know she looks like is Catherine.
And then I thought it was so cute how he says, oh, I can tell, I can see why Stefan is so smitten with you.
Which is cute. And then he goes, I'm Damon, Stefan's brother. And Elena's like, Damon, Stefan didn't tell me he had a brother. And Damon goes, Stefan doesn't like to brag, which is hilarious. Oh, Damon, you have the, I think they save the best lines for Damon.
Absolutely.
So I think everyone else gets screwed in that department, but more amusement for us. And Ian Somerhalder can just deliver a quip so nicely. Mm-hmm. And then,
he's got a beautiful smirk to
me. Yeah, he does. We love, sorry, Ian Somerhalder, we love you. And then they're talking, and then he goes, and Elena's, like, mesmerized by the house, and she goes, she asks Damon, this is your house? And then he delivers the cute little line, living room, parlor, Sotheby's auction house, you name it, it's cute. And then, you know, Damon is talking to Elena, and then they talk about this, Damon is glad that Elena met Stefan because he never thought that, you know,
He'd get over the last one, yeah,
which we know is Catherine.
Yeah, and then he says so.
Ironic, because Damon's not over Catherine either. Yeah. Stefan's way more over her than...
He's already trying to drive this wedge between Stefan and Elena.
And he delivers the cute little line, every relationship is doomed to end. And then, or Elena asks, like, basically makes the observation, you think every relationship is doomed to end, which, okay, funny, it is. And then he goes, I'm a fatalist, which is cute. And then Stefan appears and ruins the moment.
Yeah.
Damn that, Stefan. And then, you know.
But not completely, because then Stefan says that Elena should leave, and then Damon kisses Elena's hand.
Which is sweet. And then, you know, Elena leaves, and then they go, okay. And then Damon and Stefan are wearing the same clothes. Like, Damon's in black and Stefan's in blue, and it's the same exact outfit, which is hilarious. Natalie didn't notice it, but I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah.
And then we learned that Damon's compulsion is much stronger than Stefan's compulsion.
Yeah, and that's because Stefan is abstaining from all human blood,
yes,
and that makes him weaker.
In a way, he's much more Edward, but the vegetarian status for Stefan is much more significant because if he doesn't abstain, he can't stop. He's,
yeah, it's like he's an alcoholic.
He's a Ripper, which, yeah, okay. Also, Buffy knockoff because Giles was named the Ripper also. But okay, who's counting?
Oh, I forgot about
that. So there's another Buffy shout out. Now you gotta wonder, Kevin Williamson, Buffy fan maybe? But they aired on the same night too, so maybe. Anyways, happy WB.
Well, he could have been a fan.
I guess he could have. You go, Kevin Williamson and Julie Plec. I know Julie Plec, anyway. And then, you know, Jenna and Elena is all mad at Stefan because he didn't tell her that he had a brother. And okay, but they've only talked for like one night. Okay,
they've only known each other for like one or two days.
Right, and she expects him to like reveal all.
His whole life story.
Of course, and like she's just so upset. And Jenna and Elena are talking and they're making dinner and then Jeremy comes in stoned and Jenna throws an apple at Jeremy, which... Another Twilight, hello, which is hilarious because she just, like, chucks it back. I wonder if it was, like, you know, they were screwing around and they just decided they liked it and they kept it. Because sometimes they do. Improv. Yeah. So maybe. And then, you know, Jeremy goes into his little rant about, ooh, attempt at parental, you know, guardian. I don't know, some like weird that thing.
Like, he just says, like, oh, yeah, you were cool one time. That's cool. Goodbye.
Yeah. Terrible, terrible acting.
Well, actually, no, I kind of thought at that point that Jeremy was stoned.
Yeah, I think he was, too. Yeah. Which, okay.
Well, the actor was trying to convince
I guess you're not really eloquent when you're stoned, apparently.
Yeah. You just say cool a lot.
I've never actually tried, so, you know. All right. And then we go to the hospital. Again, I swear, this episode should have been called All About Vicky. And then Vicky's having a nightmare, and she's all freaked out, and she gets up to go to the bathroom, and she takes off her bandage off her stitches, and does she see? She sees Damon. No, she doesn't see Damon in the mirror.
No, I think how it goes is she's washing her face, she's looking down into the sink, and then when she looks up at the mirror, she sees Damon behind.
No, I think that's later, though.
Oh, is that later?
That's later. I think. Oopsies. No, sorry,
oh,
guys.
Oh, no. She sees him, but then when she looks again, he's gone.
Right.
And then she goes.
And then she goes to Matt, and Matt won't wake up, and then Damon pops out at her.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, you know, okay, it's creepy.
Yeah, and then she wakes up.
And then
it's all been a dream.
And then she's all alone. Matt's not there. Poor Vicky. She's all alone. And then we're at...
But anyway, what this scene really indicates is that Stefan's compulsion didn't work on
her. Oh,
yeah.
And then
ineffective.
Damon's is much more stronger. Which, you know, we don't really... this is really the only time, I think, throughout the season that you realize how much more expansive Damon's power is. Because, like, later episodes, you usually think that Stefan and Damon's powers are matched, which is interesting.
Well, because in this season, Damon's really the villain, and so I think they were trying to...
I think Damon's the villain for maybe the first 6 episodes, and then it gets... I think the villain is much more revealed with Jonathan Gilbert, who... Oh, spoiler alert, guys, so watch for that name.
But that's why I think they were trying to play up,
I guess,
Damon's strength.
And then people decide to like Damon, and maybe they change the direction of the show. Because in the books, Damon is definitely the villain, so... But Damon's better. Anyways... So then we go, do we have a school scene? No.
No, they're actually...
at the Comet.
Bonnie and Elena are in the town square. I think they're passing out flyers.
Passing out flyers? Okay, so apparently they're part of the Comet Festival Committee?
I guess.
Maybe it's for the Mystic Falls pageant Elena has to do.
In this scene, there's also a song that I like called I Get Around by Dragonette, and I thought this was kind of funny because also in this scene, Caroline
sees Damon again
for a second, and you know she gets around with him.
Natalie thought that was quite hilarious. That was. And then you know.
Oh yeah, and also in this scene, Bonnie is encouraging Elena to get with Stefan.
They haven't gotten to the texting part of the relationship yet, which Elena's frustrated about, which is you know kind of funny. And then which ironically though. In this episode, Bonnie is really trying to encourage Elena to, you know, get over her parents' death and actually try something new, which is interesting.
With Stefan.
But her decision changes.
Later on in other episodes. She's very anti-vampire.
But she doesn't. We don't know if Stefan's a vampire yet in the people-wise. So.
But soon we will.
Yeah. And then we go to the Zach and Stefan scene. Oh, God. Zach gets killed, thank God. Spoiler alert, guys. And, you know, not yet, though, unfortunately.
I don't have any problem with Zach.
Zach's just unfleshed. I think that's my problem. Mm-hmm. And then Zach confronts Stefan about the girl in the hospital, and then he asks why Damon came home. And we don't actually know this yet. We don't know why Damon came home until, well...
Well, in the first episode, he did say, basically, that he wants to antagonize his brother.
Right, of course.
Make his wife miserable, but that's about it. He just hasn't...
But not for the reason you may think, because, you know, what we know is Damon's a villain, so you'd think that the villain would change Stefan, but we learn that's not actually true.
So far, we don't know why he hates his brother.
Right, and then Zach ends with the line, "Is she worth it?" And Stefan doesn't say anything. But
apparently, about Elena.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So he's referencing Elena. And 3 seasons later, we all know, apparently she is. And then Jeremy and Vicky at the grill. And Vicky delivers this terrible line of, oh, Jeremy asks Vicky, oh, are you in pain? Did they give you anything? And she goes, nothing with an O in it. I think they're on to me. Oh, God. Okay.
So paranoid.
But Natalie made the really good point, too. Where is Jeremy getting all these drugs? He gives Vicky these drugs, and it's like maybe he got it from his parents' medicine cabinet.
15-year-old supplier of drugs.
Apparently he's... Okay, so Mystic Falls is lenient on drugs and alcohol. What else? Apparently they're
really...
Way to go, Mystic Falls.
And then, so much on vampires, we'll soon find out.
And then Tyler interrupts their little scene and, you know, and makes Jeremy all sad.
Although... Thankfully, Vicky blows him off.
Yes, thank God. And Vicky gets all mad at Tyler, which is terrible.
But not for long, again.
Poor Tyler is just so, you know, he's very...
douchey.
Yeah, not at all fleshed out, but he gets better. I do say that Tyler was one of my least favorite characters, and he does get better.
In the first season.
In the third season.
And the second. Mm-hmm. I like him much
better. I like him much better, too. And then we go to... the Nameless Comet Festival, and they all have candles because apparently they turn off the lights of Mystic Falls. But the lights are still... I was confused. Anyways,
well,
They Matt and Elena share a candle in their lighting, which is okay.
So Matt helps Elena light her candle, and that's a nice moment.
Right. Well, okay, and that's also signifying because he's lighting Elena's candle, and then like Stefan takes his,
which kind of indicates that he still holds a flame
for her. But then she's taking the flame away from Matt and to light Stefan's candle, which. Yeah. Could be taken very wrong.
Matt is just watching this happen. Oh.
Matt. Poor Matt.
Yeah.
And then they have their sweet little awkward moment, and Stefan knows that Elena's pissed off at him, and she talks about how, she understands how it's complicated, and basically we realize Elena doesn't want complicated. She wants safe, which is really, really, really important.
Very significant.
We just realized that, actually. Yeah. Elena wants nothing complicated. She wants just everything safe, which, okay, fine.
Which we think is really because of her parents' death. She can't stand being that someone would leave her again.
Or taking risks, which, again, this is important. And then,
Stefan uses the comet as this metaphor for himself.
Right.
Which is just so funny.
He's very angel, because he goes, Elena says, you always apologize, or you apologize a lot, and he goes, I have a lot to apologize for, which, this is another Buffy reference, apparently. Apparently, Stefan and Angel shared a house together or something.
Yeah.
And then,
back in the 20s.
Right. Exactly, at the Hyperion. And Elena talks about, she understands how it's complicated, and that and she's mad because he had an ex, and that ex-girlfriend, who we know is Catherine, broke his heart, and she's all mad because she doesn't want to be with...
So those are the two reasons, just those two reasons, that she Stefan has a complicated ex, and then he has a complicated relationship with his brother. Those are the only reasons she doesn't want to be with him.
Which is okay. After 3 days, really? Okay.
Yeah.
But all right. And then
she's just not ready to be in a relationship.
Right. That's she acknowledges that with Bonnie, and then she delivers this. I kind of like this line. And then she's like, Stefan, I get it. We met, we talked, and it was epic. And then the sun came up, and reality set in. Which, okay. Makes sense for now, but after 3 days, you really come to that conclusion now. Mid-season, I understand, but okay, sure. Elena walks away from Stefan and blows out her candle, which, again, is very significant.
Yeah.
They
like the metaphors.
Yes, very, very, very much. Kevin Williamson and Julie Plec, you love the metaphors. And then we go back to Vicky. I swear, I'm so tired of Vicky. I can't wait till we get to the third episode, because the third episode gets really, really good. And, Vicky.
Yeah, so she sees Damon at the bar.
Vicky sees Damon.
Mr. Grill. And then she just says, I know you.
Which is hilarious, because Damon goes, that's unfortunate. Which, I agree with Damon. I wouldn't want Vicky to know me either.
And that's pretty much all she says to him. It's just and then she walks away.
Which is really, really, really funny. And then, Vicky gets all freaked out and pops the pills that Jeremy gave her. And, Damon goes into the girl's bathroom and bites her again, which is really funny, and it's very, 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 Dracula-esque.
Actually, I know this is for the dramatic effect, but it's so funny to think that, before she goes into the bathroom, that Damon's already there hiding waiting for her.
Which is okay. I wouldn't mind if Damon came into the girl's bathroom, honestly, but okay.
Yeah.
And then, Jeremy is being his little lost puppy and looking for Vicky, and I can't tell, does Matt say this or does Tyler say this? He goes, well, you're her stalker, shouldn't you know? I think it's Matt.
We think it's Tyler. I think it would be Tyler, because Matt likes Jeremy.
It sounded like Matt, which I thought was really funny. I'm like, apparently, Matt's not too happy. And anyways, they're all concerned about Vicky, because Vicky's missing. Okay, because apparently we all love Vicky. Okay, and then,
I thought that was a bit premature. It's like, maybe she was gone for 15, 20 minutes or something.
Right, and they're all freaking out, and basically, Jeremy says, I slept with Vicky, and he at least didn't have to force Tyler, Vicky to sleep with him.
That was pretty bad of Jeremy.
Well, I guess. But then Tyler says, at least I'm not dealing drugs kind of thing, and Elena gets pissed off at him and delivers a tough love speech of, you can either talk to me or you can talk to the therapist and talk about how you're screwing up your own life, which I thought, okay, this is where we really prove that Elena isn't your typical human Bella.
She's a strong character,
you know, she just doesn't found her way yet, which is actually really good. We like, yay, strong characters.
Yes.
And then, you know, Matt runs out of the grill and looks for it at the square and runs into Stefan because apparently Matt's the paranormal Ghostbuster
expert.
And Matt tells her, oh, have you seen my sister? She's missing. And Stefan hears Damon and Vicky kind of quarreling
with his super hearing,
which, you know, okay, this is very Superman, and thank God this effect goes... It doesn't go away, but it gets better how they portray it on screen, which is nice. And then Stefan tells Matt, oh, I'll go look for her kind of thing.
Yeah, and then he goes to this abandoned building where Damon has Vicky on the roof.
Suspended on the roof, like, perilously going to fall over. And Stefan jumps up on the roof, and Damon delivers the absolutely best line of the episode and goes, very nice. Have you been eating bunnies? Which is... Oh my God, that's my favorite line.
Good.
It was so funny. And then, you know, now Damon's just screwing with Stefan and, you know, compelling Vicky to say who really killed her. And Damon tells her, oh, it's, you know, it was Stefan who really attacked you and how we're vampires. And Stefan goes, why are you doing this? And, you know, Stefan delivers this heartfelt speech of, fine, you tell her it's a vampire and,
They'll drive a stake through my heart.
And then he goes, why are you back, Damon? Do you want me? Oh, and I really liked this scene. Do you really want... Oh, Damon goes, I want you to remember who you are. Which actually, okay, if you think about it in the long run, Damon season 3...
I thought this was an odd thing to say because it's not like they were on much better terms when Stefan was the Ripper.
But on the other hand, though, Damon is actually protecting Elena in this sense, though. Because... you know, I want you to remember who you are. He wants him to realize that he needs human blood so he doesn't go ballistic. Which is actually, you know, this is major spoilers, guys, so sorry. And major foreshadowing, I thought, which was really interesting.
Or maybe he was trying to get Stefan to leave.
Maybe. And, you know, protect.
So he could have Elena also.
Oh. and then Stefan kind of delivers the, what would it be like to be brothers again? You want me to remember that? And Stefan asks that of Damon. And you should see the look on Damon's face. It's like, oh, maybe that kind of hit home, which is interesting.
Yeah.
They did a really good job foreshadowing. I wonder if they realized how good they did. But this is the good Stefan family relationship drama thing that I really like about the show. So, and then Damon laughs about how dramatic, you know, overdramatic Stefan's being, and he's like, wow.
I think this he uses humor because he's so affected by it.
Yeah, maybe, but I thought that the delivery, Ian Somerhalder has a great delivery. And then this is sultry Damon, and Damon compels Vicky again and like tells her, come here, sweetheart, and grabs Vicky and then compels her just to, you know, oh, I was wandering and being, you know, my bipolar drugged hazy self. And, you know, okay. And then, you know, Stefan asks her what happened. And then she delivers this terrible hippie line of, I took some pills, man. Which, oh, I hated that line. I was like, oh, you just ruined that great moment, Vicky. This is why I can't stand this character. I don't know why, but yeah.
Oh.
And then, you know... we go, you know, Matt confronts Stefan and says, oh, Vicky said she was wandering around, and he kind of thanks them in a guy way, I guess.
Yeah.
And then, but before that, though, they also deliver a great line before Vicky and Matt reunite. Damon goes, or Stefan asks him, what are you up to? And then Damon delivers this great line of, that's for me to know and for you to ... And it's cute. And then, you know, Matt thanks Stefan for finding him, and Stefan asks Bonnie where Caroline is, and Bonnie writes out her email address, which...
Not Caroline.
Oh,
Elena.
I'm sorry. Bonnie, yeah.
It's all about Elena.
It's all about Elena. Poor Caroline.
Right.
And
Bonnie gives Stefan...
her email address.
Her email
and her text
number.
And her phone number. Which, okay, but really, you're going to... Seven's going to send her an email?
Yeah, all these random people that are not Elena who are giving out her information.
Random people, because Mystic Falls doesn't understand in common courtesy. But okay. Yeah. And then, Bonnie touches Stefan and gets super, super freaked out. And this is
his vibe off him.
And then in this little second, Bonnie evolves very majorly, which is, really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That's an arc that goes 2.5 seasons. Very interesting. Almost actually 3 seasons.
Yeah. She becomes very wary of Stefan at this moment.
And she hasn't even met Damon officially yet. The exasperation continues. And then Elena and Jenna are having this cute little, interaction. And
I think Jenna is in
Jeremy's room searching for his drug paraphernalia.
Yeah, his
and she delivers this. Jenna delivers this great line of, "Oh, I met your asshat of a teacher yesterday," and then Elena goes, "Oh, you've been tannered, been there, done that," which is kind of cute. And then, Jenna's worried that she's failing Elena and Jeremy, and, if something happens to him, it's all her fault.
Yeah, and I think at this point, Elena, as she's talking to Jenna, as she's trying to reassure her that she's doing a good job, she really realizes that it's the fear that's the real reason she doesn't want to be with Stefan.
Exactly.
So she says something like, to Jenna, that it's the fear talking that's making her think that she cannot take care of Elena and Jeremy.
And this fear, again, that lasts 3 seasons, too. She doesn't get over this fear.
Yeah.
Which is, it's all about her parents' death. And, and this is, again, why Elena is so different. She's impacted, which is good. She's in tune with her emotions. She's not closed off. She's not, as much as I love Veronica, she's not a Veronica. And from Veronica Mars, for all the uneducated people, watch that show.
Uneducated.
And then Elena is, reflecting on herself, and she's like, "I have to go do something." And then
we all know what she's gonna do.
Yeah. But for those who haven't watched it yet, we flash to poor emo Jeremy. I have that in my notes.
This is so sad.
Jeremy is treated terribly in this first season. Like even through the first couple seasons, it's just like,
Because Vicky is totally playing with him.
Well,
emotionally.
But like they all play with him. Like Elena messes with him,
in the later seasons, I thought it was so awful how they.
Apparently, Kevin Williamson and Julie Plec don't really like their little brothers or sisters. Apparently, sibling rivalry is big. And then Jeremy spots Vicky and Tyler making out, and he's all sad, and he probably goes off to get high. Which, okay, 15 really, but all right. Apparently, this day and age is different.
Okay, so then,
Caroline's walking.
Caroline's walking.
Caroline's walking to her car with, this great little over shrug with her bright yellow dress. Why didn't they pick that? But, costume designer, whatever.
Okay.
And then, Caroline's walking and hears sounds behind her and is very, girl in the alley, what Joss Whedon made Buffy an antithesis of. Can't say that word, sorry. And, she looks around and up pops Damon.
Yeah.
And then here
just happens to be there.
Of course. And she's like, "I hope you had been, I'd run into you." And Damon goes, "Oh," and he gets that coy smile. And here goes the Damon and Caroline circle, which, yay. And then,
I liked them together. They're very amusing in ways.
They are. And then, Damon says, "Oh, I know," when Caroline tells him, "Oh, she'd hoped he'd run into him." And Caroline goes, "Cocky much?" Which is like signs of third season Caroline,
It's a bit of a pun.
Yeah. And, haha. And then he goes, "Very much." And then we have Elena at the Salvatore mansion.
Yeah,
and
she's gone to talk to Stefan.
Or talk. In quotation marks. And then, she goes, "I would have gone home and done what I've done and written in my diary since the day that my mother gave me a diary when I was 10 years old," which, with history, we don't know much about Elena's mom, except now we know that she gave her a diary when she was 10.
Yeah.
But we don't see her writing in the diary anymore.
In later seasons, you don't really learn that much about her parents either.
Not really. Well, that's not true. We do learn. We learn more about the Gilbert. We don't learn more about the Summers.
More about their ancestry.
Right.
Not so much about her parents.
Yeah, that's true. But we know that her parents are not exactly her parents. But anyway, spoiler alert. Yeah. Yeah, so. Sorry, guys. And then, you know, Seven asks Elena what you would have written, and she goes, "Dear Diary, today I realized I wouldn't have been able to, you know, I made a decision that I shouldn't take risks," which, again, comes full circle at the end of season 3, which made Ashley very mad. So if I rant during that episode, I'm really sorry. But that's way in the future, so don't you worry. And, you know, she talks about how she doesn't want to take risks, which is completely true. And, you know, they have a sweet little, you know, moment. And
yeah, and then Elena and Stefan kiss.
Right, and they kiss, and he tells her what he would have written in her diary, which, oh my gosh, the diaries end really soon.
And thank God.
Thank God. Because it's too mushy. And then,
I mean, I know it's called The Vampire Diaries,
but yeah.
You really don't need to be talking about diaries so much.
And then, oh, Elena's worried that if she does take risks that the world's going to come crashing down, which...
It's a bit dramatic.
It is a bit dramatic, but in a way, it's foreshadowing. Major, major, major foreshadowing.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and they had a cute little song at the end, but I don't know which one it was.
But that is not the end.
No, it's not the end. And this, you know, episode really takes a turn when Damon and Caroline are enjoying each other's company. And
that's one word for it.
Damon bites her, and then... the series takes a very, very dark, dark, you know, journey. It's really, really good.
Yeah.
So.
And that's the end of the episode.
Yeah. Natalie, how many crows would you give this episode?
I would probably give it 3. I don't think I'm going to go under 3 crows ever. But basically, the reason I'm going for 3 crows is because not much happened in this episode. Some stuff happened, but I really thought there wasn't much more character development, and not much happened. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, how many crows would you give it?
I think I would give it a 2.5. I liked how they set up the Damon and Stefan relationship, and you know, you're kind of yearning for more if you're like us, the nerds.
Yeah.
And,
all the scenes with Stefan and Damon are interesting.
I can't stand Vicky. I like the Damon and Elena interaction, but you know, it's just, Vicky. I just can't stand Vicky. And then the Mr. Tanner scene and Jenna's terrible dress, and oh my goodness. But yeah. You know, it's the start. You know, you gotta forgive
things will really pick up in later episodes.
Yeah, and like even the next episode, it gets dramatically better.
And I'll definitely be giving those better ratings.
Yes, good ones with Catherine, but we don't know her yet.
Yeah, and the flashbacks.
And those flashbacks, are those are my favorite. I love the flashbacks. I can't wait to talk about those.
Yeah, and Elena looks, Nina Dobrev, she looks really good.
Nina Dobrev is a really great actress. You wouldn't think, she was apparently on Degrassi and Nickelodeon. I've never watched that, but apparently it's the Canadian Dawson's Creek, is what I realized.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is she Canadian?
She is Canadian.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah, and...
Everyone seems to be Canadian.
In this show, apparently. Yeah. And, yeah, so, and this episode really did a good job of starting something. I don't know, they have the A plot and the B plot and the arcing storyline there, so yay for that. But just the Vicky and the Mr. Tanner. Oh, but next episode is really good. And thanks for joining us, guys.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thanks for tuning in. See you later. Bye. This episode of Vampire Diaries Radio was produced by Podomatic and FeedBurner. All clips and references used are property of Warner Brothers The Vampire Diaries. Your hosts are Ashley and Natalie. Thanks for joining in.